Facts are facts. Like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
Hola! How was your Monday? I was sending you encouragement, support, moral support. Mondays are always... Exactly. I'll tell you how my Monday went. I needed some Van Halen to get through it. Whew. I was about an hour into my training run because my next half marathon is just under a month away. And while it was cooler in my neighborhood and in my county on Monday evening, it was humid as heck. Oh, the type of humidity where you get done exercising or doing yard work or whatever else you're engaging in outside and you feel and look as though you got into the shower with your clothes on. It's appropriately titled Muggy Buggy No Huggy. It's a boundary that I have to keep this time of the year. So thick humidity, and I'm huffing and puffing, and about an hour in, I really need to go another 15 minutes. I really need to keep going for just a little bit longer. It's hilly. It's challenging. I'd rather sit down on the curb and not go anywhere. And then, wouldn't you know it, a little bit of Van Halen kicks into the shuffle on my iPod. I know I still have an iPod. It's an iPod Nano, and it's orange, and it's about 15 years old, and I absolutely love it. Anyway, iPod Nano shuffles in some Van Halen, and I'm telling you what, that gave me a kick. Some classic Van Halen. It was awesome. I don't know if you have a favorite Van Halen song, but this one, it rolls out with some incredible music at the beginning. I'm sure you know right now, or if you don't know right now, then you better check it out. Not right now, though, because you're listening to the show, but soon. Oh, yeah, I listened to it twice, and it got me through the final 15 minutes of the training run. Whew. Monday, conquered. Boom. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We have a lot to get to. I don't even know why I bother telling you that. Of course, we have a lot to get to. First of all, the Mariners remain red hot. We're going to head to the Pacific Northwest. Our guest is still there at the ballpark and is still writing his game cap. He writes for MLB.com, still covering tonight's game against the Oakland A's, which was a shutout and the 12th win in 13 tries for the first place M's. So we'll get to that when he is available and ready to go. But believe it or not, the Mariners have competition for the hottest team in baseball and not able to pad their lead atop the AL West, not on this night. So we'll let you know the latest diamond drama. Jose Altuve adds another notch to his resume, his Hall of Fame resume, to be fair. But in all of baseball, no matter what is happening on the mound, at the dish, It does not compare. In fact, it pales in comparison to what happened in right field in Denver a few hours ago. Now, this is in the midst of one heck of a game for Ronald Acuna, who does have some competition from Mookie Betts in the MVP race. But Acuna was brilliant. He was 4-for-5 with a home run, 5 RBI from the leadoff spot. He also had 2 stolen bases, I believe. He was burning up the base paths. But the moment that everyone's talking about is the moment that took place in right field when the man was minding his own business and playing a game.
There is 5 security personnel out there in right center. I think there might have actually been 2 fans. Yeah, there's 2 fans that came out toward Ronald Acuna in right field. Boy, and that one fan is out of control. They can barely, 3 security guards can barely contain him.
What is he doing?
Wow. Yeah, they've got to get him down to the ground.
Put him in handcuffs. Let's go. This is absolutely unacceptable. The fact that a fan could even get that close to Ronald is absolutely unacceptable.
And Ronald's fine. It all happened so quickly, Peter. You and I were watching A.J. Minter warm up, and then all of a sudden, there was the commotion in right field, and 2 fans converged on Ronald Acuna.
Wouldn't want them dragging him up here.
They didn't just converge on him in the outfield. One fan was intent on hugging Ronald and would not let him go. When a security guard arriving Johnny Come Lately manages to separate the first fan from Acuna, manages to extricate Acuna from the first fan's arms, creepy as heck. The second fan, who's still somehow free and not tackled to the ground, he then knocks over Acuna. This is a Major League Baseball outfielder in a Major League park that's supposed to have Major League security. And yet for some reason, somehow, and I get it, every now and then fans will squirt onto the field, but how is it that security could not get the situation under control and that Acuna not only gets bear hugged by an eager Beaver fan, but then he gets knocked over by another dude? And I know producer Jay has gotten us a bunch of reaction from Atlanta and from their clubhouse. I really want some reaction from Colorado. There's got to be some reaction from Bud Black. This is his ballpark. These are his guys. I'm sure he's mortified, as in embarrassed to the hilt. I appreciate that on Bally Sports South, which is where the call was made that we just shared with you, they say right away, Ronnie's okay. But what if he wasn't? The security, as well as the team, the stadium, would have a lot to answer for. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So let's hear from the Atlanta clubhouse, including Ronald Acuna Jr. through his interpreter as this is all playing out. What's going through his mind?
I don't know what to say, because the truth is I think the fans are in the stands, and I think at any moment, you know, they could charge the field. And I'd say the important thing is that we're all okay, and I hope that they're okay too.
You don't want to see that happen. I know that, because you don't know what those people are, you know, what they can do when they come out there. So it's a scary situation.
I don't think they had any ill intentions. I think that was pretty evident early on still. I mean, we have these rules and regulations in place. We're supposed to feel safe on the field. And, you know, thankfully they weren't there to do any harm. You just never know during those situations, you know, what people's intentions were. Luckily, they were just extreme fans of Ronnie and wanted to get a picture or put their hands on him, but in no way is it appropriate for people to leave the stands, even more to put their hands on someone else. And, you know, you don't ever really expect it. So, you know, me and Mike are just playing catch, and then you kind of look out the corner of your eye and you see some people on the field, security doing their job. And then, you know, when Ronnie fell down, you know, your mindset changes a little bit. You go over there and you don't think about any repercussions. You just want to get them out of there safely and whatever I could do to help. And luckily they were able to, you know, kind of calm the situation down. And thankfully he wasn't hurt in it.
Thankfully he wasn't hurt. If you haven't seen the video, I just retweeted it on my Twitter, A-Law Radio, but it's out there. It's easy to find. Oh, just wacky. And again, you've got a fan who's latched onto bear hugging Ronald Acuna before security ever shows up on the scene. And then while security is trying to extricate him, you got another fan who comes bum rushing in who must have decided, oh yeah, you know what? That guy made it, so I'm going to try it too. So he comes running in from another angle, and instead of security having surrounded Acuna, they got their hands full. There aren't enough people out there, and that was really the big deal. Not enough people out there. And so this other guy comes racing in from the blind side. What's all that all about, watching your six? Oh yeah, they weren't watching their six. And by the time the other guy gets out there with a full head of steam, Acuna's kind of backpedaling. You could tell he's taken aback. He's nervous. And then this other guy comes in, kind of loses his balance, trips, and just takes Acuna out with him. So check out the video, again, on my Twitter or just any social media. You can Google it. Brian Snitker and then Kevin Pillar reacting. It is the most important thing that he was not hurt. And I'm glad the fans had no ill will intended, but when a fan gets loose on the field, there is always the potential for harm. Always. Generally, fans have to go through a security check and often metal detectors. And so there aren't likely to be weapons. But gosh, crazier things have happened than people somehow fashioning a weapon out of a pencil or anything sharp that could have hurt him. It just really made me nervous to watch and also angry. Athletes, pro athletes, college athletes should not have to fear for their safety. And even though Acuna kind of sloughed it off and isn't making a big deal out of it, there is no doubt that he was at the very least nervous and anxious, if not flat out scared. And I applaud him for keeping his cool, because you know what I would have done? Hauled off and started kicking and punching these people until they got off me. Get off me. And in that case, I don't know what the rules are in baseball. I would think that he is well within his rights to defend himself. You don't have to stand there and wait for someone to stop bear hugging you. No. If I saw a fan flying at me, I'm giving him a Miss Piggy kick right in his gut or his baby Mariners. I mean, I'm giving him a kick where the sun don't shine.
And the little thunders?
Yeah, there. So I'm impressed that Acuna kept his cool. Though I wouldn't think that that would be a requirement. Not in that situation where you have fans that are rushing right at you. I'd love to hear from you on Twitter or on Facebook. What do you do in this situation? If you're Major League Baseball, do you ban these guys? Should they face charges? I think I vote for both. All of the above. It is not okay. Even if all you wanted to do was touch the man. Even if all you wanted to do was give him a hug. There is an appropriate place for a hug, and that is not it. I know it's zealous, overeager, excited fans, maybe a little souped up on alcohol or something else. But it's not your right to interact with a pro athlete who's doing his or her job. It's not your right to have face-to-face contact or to have FaceTime or to have a conversation with. This is their job, and they have a right to be able to do it without fear of assault, battery, bear hugs, getting knocked to the ground. I know it didn't happen, and I'm grateful, but it could have resulted in some type of an injury. If he fell over, he was knocked over, knee got twisted under somebody else. It's a tough place for security to reach because it's out in the middle of the field. But if that's the case, then there needs to be a greater barrier or deterrent for fans who are sitting in the front row or sitting along the wall. And I haven't yet seen where these guys came from, because what we have, the perspective, and I'm sure they have cameras, but the perspective is from the high angle cam, maybe up in the press box, that's focused on Acuna and his spot there in the outfield. Just leaves a bad taste. Yes, he's fine. He had a great game. There were chance of MVP. The Braves crush the Rockies. But this is still not okay. And this is what people will be talking about tonight and tomorrow. And it needs to be talked about. Coors Field security, the Rockies themselves, they got to figure that out. They got to make sure it does not happen again. If you want to see the video again, it's on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Our Facebook page too, open and available for you. So, as I say, coming up, we got some hot to trot teams and athletes in pro sports. Novak Djokovic, he's never lost in the first round of the U.S. Open. Back in the United States for the first time in a long time after winning in Cincinnati. So we hear from him. Coco Gauff as well. A lot of people paying attention to her in New York for the U.S. Open. One team in Major League Baseball has 9 straight wins, another 12 in its last 13, and is the hottest offensive club going right now. Ooh, we're so close to the end of the dog days. We're about to hit the stretch run, peeps. The fall is coming. I know some of you are kind of ticked at me for what I posted on social earlier on Monday. I couldn't help it, though. If you check out the photo, you'll understand why I was inspired. When I was kayaking on the Susquehanna River on Saturday, I caught sight of one tree that's already got yellow leaves. It was gorgeous, really pretty, nestled on the rocks amongst some other green trees. It's already a flaming yellow, and it's beautiful. So I know it's not even September yet, but seeing that first sign of fall, guess what I did? I had a pumpkin spice coffee. It was a taste of fall, a taste test, if you will. Just to be sure, pumpkin still floats my boat. Pumpkin's still my jam. I love pumpkin. I love all things pumpkin and all things orange, even though it's too early. I'll readily admit it. And some of you are yelling at me for it. Wow.
Touching the pumpkin.
I definitely did touch and drink the pumpkin this weekend. I'm looking forward to fall for a lot of reasons. Actually, I'm mostly looking forward to December, but I'm looking forward to fall for a lot of reasons. And football is right around the corner. We've got some QB news coming from the Arizona Cardinals, the desert where it does not feel like fall. But we'll stick with baseball and a little bit of tennis before the hour is done. Glad to have you with us. Hope you survived your Monday. I highly recommend some pumpkin spice coffee. Oops, sorry.
The PBP, Voices of Baseball, is a podcast about the art and craft of play-by-play, and we're in the middle of an amazing season. Catch up on episodes with Joe Buck, Joe Davis, Pat Hughes, and more, and learn along with me, Matt Spiegel, how the job is done.
It's not just home run Bryce Harper in the Phillies lead. To really do it justice, you got to widen the lens. What does this home run mean?
The PBP, Voices of Baseball. I bring you the people who bring you the game. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
To left center field. Back goes Bellinger up into the stands. Yelich leads off with a home run. 2-0 pitch. And Canna, high fly ball deep left. Half is back. Track, wall, bye bye baseball. A two run shot for Mark Canna. And the Brewers all over the Cubs to start up this game here tonight at Wrigley. The pitch. High fly ball, deep right center field. Taylor has a beat on it underneath it. He makes the catch, and it's a nifty nine for the crew. The Brewers take the opener in Chicago, 6-2 your final. The Brewers win their ninth in a row, and they get this series started off in style in the Windy City.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
See what I mean? I listened to it for 15 minutes straight. It was exactly what I needed. And if you're needing a little supercharge there in Wisconsin, baseball fans, the Brewers have got 9 consecutive wins at the expense of the Chicago Cubs. So this victory taking place at Wrigley Field, you hear it on Brewers Radio Network. 4 runs in the first, plus the final call, just to emphasize that they are creating some distance between themselves and the rest of the NL Central. Now that lead over the Cubbies is 5 games. 5 games for Milwaukee. Remember when we talked about the AL Central and the NL Central being brutal? They're still not the best teams in baseball. However, the Twins have carved out a 7-game lead atop the AL Central. Really, they're the only team with a record above 500, so there's that. But in the NL Central, you have 3 teams that are above 500, and the Brewers, with this latest surge, kind of putting some distance between themselves and the Cubs. So this series is critical. Christian Yelich hitting leadoff in this one as the Brewers get 6 runs on 11 hits.
Just trying to find ways to win. You know, every night that has to come in a different way. You know, you don't really know how the game's going to play out, but just kind of try and do what the situation requires and not try and do too much. You know yourself and just kind of try and keep the line moving and keep pressure on the other team.
Good pitch decisions, hard contact, doing it the way you're supposed to do it. So, I think overall that has been. We've had some innings where we've really made pitchers work, and that's going to lead to runs.
It definitely did on this Monday night. That's for the Cubs, though, still very much in it. Checking out the wild card in the National League, you've got the Cubs sitting in the number 2 spot, just 4 games back. Four and a half games back of the Philadelphia Phillies, who are setting the pace. And then Arizona right now is the number three wild card team, with the Giants and the Reds and the Marlins actually all within striking distance. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We talked, we will talk about the Seattle Mariners, but we talked about them winning 12 games in their last 13 tries. Of course, they've got company. Texas getting a win at Citi Field against the Mets on Monday night, and Jose Altuve deciding that he would not allow the Astros to lose in Boston.
Red Sox lead it 2-1, top of the third inning at Fenway Park. Here's Altuve to lead things off against Chris Sale and sends one to deep center field. Back on to Duvall, and that is off of the center field wall. And Altuve races to second base with a leadoff double. A banger by Altuve to get things going for the Astros.
2-0. Ground ball left side past Devers, past Story, and in the left a base hit. Jose Altuve 2-for-3. Pitch on the way. And Altuve hits it in the air pretty deep to center field. That sends back Duvall, still going back. He leaps, and it's off the monster. Around third and coming home now is Diaz. Pena right behind him. He will score as well. Altuve in the third with a two-run triple. 1-1. And Altuve rips it deep to left field, and that is over the monster. A two-run home run and a cycle for Jose Altuve. Astros lead is 13-4.
You're kind of thinking about it, but you don't want to get out of your approach. So you're just looking for a good pitch to hit, and, you know, hopefully it happens.
Oh, it definitely happened. Jose Altuve on AT&T Sportsnet Southwest. And before that, Robert Ford and Steve Sparks on Astros Radio. It's a pretty impressive performance for a guy who's got batting titles and, of course, World Series rings. 4-for-6. Four runs scored and four runs batted in, and he caps the cycle with the eighth inning home run. Now, the Astros are chasing the Mariners. Right now, Astros and Rangers are a game back in the American League West. In the AL East, where we know it's a major dogfight, and it has been for most of the season, Yankees, they've kind of faded out of the picture. So they're in last place right now, but every other team in that division is above 500 and fighting for the postseason. So the Red Sox now, they've had struggles with their pitching. Of course, it doesn't help that over the weekend, they were assaulted by the Dodgers and their bats, specifically Mookie Betts. But yeah, for Chris Sale and Kyle Barraclough, this was a tough day. I kind of feel like Kyle was made the sacrificial lamb, but both guys were pretty frustrated when it was over and the Astros had played a ton of runs.
Definitely not good. Didn't put our team in a good situation, put my teammates in a bad situation. Just all-around piss-poor effort, to say the least. Not doing my team, myself, any justice. It's tough, you know. I come here every day and put in a lot of work to not get a lot out of it. My teammates deserve better, you know. They needed someone to step up big tonight. We were obviously gassed out in the bullpen. They needed someone to come in and act like an ace, and that's just not what happened. I ruined multiple people's nights tonight by what I went out there and did. And that's embarrassing. It's unacceptable.
Chris Sale taking it hard. I ruined multiple people's nights. They needed someone to act like an ace to protect the bullpen. I didn't do any of that. It let a lot of people down. Honestly, his performance wasn't that bad. That's the part that is kind of crazy. He allows 3 runs on 7 hits. I mean, it was a bit of a struggle, a scuffle through 4 2/3. So he got pulled before the 5th inning was done. But it's not like he got blown up. No, they reserved that for Kyle. 10 runs on 11 hits. There was no way the Red Sox were pulling him. They just decided, dude, you're on your own. You're going to be out there until we get done with this game. So you might as well get used to getting shelled. Oh my goodness. They really didn't have the help out of the bullpen, though. They needed to rest the bullpen arms because of what the Dodgers were able to do and how the Dodgers pushed them, which is what LA does, but how they pushed them over the weekend. So yeah, this was kind of a mess. And I understand why Chris wanted to go deeper in the game. But again, it's not like he got torched. just the Astros were able to score in the second and the third, again in the fifth, one run in each inning. It was the sixth inning in which they really got a little crazy, got a little wonky.
To shoot a hostage, if you will.
That. Kyle was the hostage. He was the sacrificial lamb. 13 runs on 18 hits. And so, yeah, the Astros hit 75 wins. Astros, Rangers, both looking up at the Mariners, and we'll talk to Daniel Kramer at the top of the hour. We now know out of Seattle, where it was loud, energetic, a ton of enthusiasm for what the Mariners are doing right now. And I mentioned this on last night's show when they took over first place. Latest that they have had sole possession of first place in the division in 20 years. Not since 2003 had they been in first place in the division in August. So pretty impressive. Also, Novak Djokovic, welcome back to the U.S. Open. Did you see the star-studded fan support that he had? The Obamas were there. There are all kinds of other celebrities there at the U.S. Open to watch Novak and to watch Coco Gauff, who had a three-set match before Novak ever got on the court. So it was a late night, but as Novak points out, New Yorkers and tennis fans in the New York area love their late nights. They're all about keeping the tennis rolling into the wee hours of the morning because, you know, it's the city that never sleeps and all. I mean, we're not sleeping. We're here in Lower Manhattan, not in Queens, but we are rolling through the night. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Hope that you survived your Monday. We're so happy Marco Belletti is back. It's a Marco Monday. Did you miss us? That's the most important thing. Forget your week away. That's the most important thing. Are you actually working on the show the rest of the week?
Yes, because I'm back on Friday afternoon, but that is your Saturday, basically.
Well,
so,
I'm off. I leave for Houston on Thursday at noon. I've got wedding things to do.
I apologize. Okay. I didn't realize. But yes, I would be with you for the rest of the week and whoever is obviously in for you Thursday night into Thursday Friday night. Morning.
I think it's Rich. I think. Has nothing to do with me. I know that you're going to be jealous when I tell you, ooh, this is the weekend we do taste testing. Caterer taste testing.
I am. I'm also, because of partly for me, I didn't get to do that.
Why?
Yeah, we apparently picked a place, and mm-hmm. I was like, all right, the one cool thing is the taste. And they very, I didn't like the way he actually said it. We don't do that here. Well, I was like, I'm sorry.
I would have been like, well, we don't hire you.
Well, he was like, our reputation precedes.
Oh,
and
foo-foo.
I will say, after eating the food, all right, the food was damn good.
What did
but
you
I did
serve?
Not know.
What did you have at your wedding?
Who the hell knows? I have no idea.
Come on, you don't remember anything?
I remember them saying, when you hear the music, stand over there. And that's when my wife would be coming down the aisle. The next thing I know, it was the next day. Honestly, everything was just like, I remember my friends a few times grabbing me and bringing me outside during the reception to like you got to get away. Like, because you hop around so much. It was like a whirlwind. And they know me well, so they could see a look on my face. So, all right, we got you.
How many people at your wedding?
250, 260.
See, that's why we're doing 50 tops and 80% is family because I don't want to be that way. I've waited a long time for this wedding and I just want it to be intimate and special and I want to be able to talk to everybody, with everybody.
No argument. Unfortunately, we both have very large families. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of family that wasn't there, mm-hmm. which we had to draw the line somewhere.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of friends that weren't there because we had a lot. At some point, it was just like, it's enough.
Right.
We can't do this.
Right. We're running into the same thing, although we're cutting it a lot tighter. And it does help. I mean, I understand that people may have their feelings hurt, but it does help that all of my family would have to be traveling except for my mom. And since it's the weekend before Christmas, there are people who can't make it, and I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're sending, my mother is making me, you know how it goes in Italian families. My mother is making me send invitations to people that we know aren't coming. Mom, what is the point of that?
That's it.
They will be offended if they do not get invitations.
100%.
But I said to my mom, you've got to be ready. If these people show up and you're telling me they're not going to, we have to be prepared for all these people to show up. So yes, there will be a lot of people who aren't traveling to Texas for the wedding.
Can I throw this out there?
Please.
Because I got that too. And there were plenty, you know, some of the invitations that went to Italy that I knew they weren't going to come here from Italy. I was aware of that. everybody else, minus maybe five or six people, all said yes.
Yeah.
And I was like, what happened to the 40 people that was not supposed to come?
Right.
Like, well, they said yes. We blah, blah, I can't. I don't have room for them. Like,
yes.
Yeah. So we did the same thing with a bunch of people that it was like, oh, don't worry. They'll say no. They'll say no.
Yep.
And none of them said no.
That's what I'm nervous about. Yeah. They're going to say, oh, absolutely, we'll be there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I am a little nervous. But we're keeping it smaller for, well,
good
for financial reasons, number one. But number two, because I want to be able to talk to everybody. And so here's one more thing that maybe you'll appreciate.
I said hello to everybody. I don't remember any of it.
I mean, we want to do pictures with every group, every friend that's there. We want it to be a nice party where it's not overwhelming for either of us, but also for our families, for our moms specifically. So we determined in order to save money, we wouldn't have a videographer. And then a few friends said to me, you're not going to see anything or remember anything.
Mm-hmm.
Get the video so you could actually watch what happens at your wedding. So you could see your wedding, because otherwise you're not going to remember anything.
You won't. At least I didn't. But I'll be fair. We did get the video. I never watched it. So I don't really remember anything. But no, I never watched the video. Although I do have it there in case I ever do want to see it.
Yeah. You might want to show it to your kids someday.
I have no idea where it is. But I'm sure my wife does. So I never sat and watched. I know they did once, like my cousins, my they all like sat around and watched it once and laughed and joked. I left the room.
Right.
I was like, I don't need to see this.
Right.
Because it was right after you got it, whatever, 6 months later. We just went through this. Now,
if I trip,
more than a decade later, I have no idea.
If I trip and fall, my brother and I will be walking down the aisle together. If we trip and fall or something, that video will never see the light of day.
Why?
But
that'd be the fun part.
No.
Come on.
No, not in my wedding dress.
Oh, come on.
Hell no. Ask your wife if that would be the funny part, if you tripped and fell walking down the aisle.
Yeah, but I mean, after it's over, at the time, but after it's over, you always look back and laugh.
Absolutely.
My brother almost dropped the ring. He almost lost it.
I would cry. That's different than a bride falling in her wedding dress.
I guess.
Oh, my gosh.
At the time.
And I thought you were my friend.
But I mean, later. You can't laugh at stuff like that later?
No.
Oh, come on.
No. I've waited years, decades for this moment. I'm not going to trip and fall.
No, I'm not telling you to trip and fall.
I don't care if someone else trips and falls.
I'm saying if you do, you know, you can laugh about it. About it later.
No, that's one thing I'm not laughing at. I don't care what else goes wrong. Something can light on fire for all I care, but I am not falling on the way down the aisle.
And let me put that out there. And again, this is not something's going to be not 100%.
Why does everyone keep telling us
because
that?
Because it's not possible. You can't go the whole day with everything going exactly right.
Well,
so as long
we'll
as
see.
You're cool with like
we'll see about
little...
That.
Minute things that are not 100% right.
Of course I am. I'm just not cool with me tripping and falling on my way down the aisle.
Okay, there you go.
You said it would be funny.
Later. I didn't take the time. I said later.
I thought we were friends.
But again.
No, that's it. We're done.
Understanding that some things are going to be a little sideways.
That's okay.
And that's fine.
I'm not a bridezilla. I'm okay with that.
That's what I'm saying. Don't let it ruin your night, because there's going to be things that go
if
sideways.
If I trip and fall down the aisle, we're starting over. Well, we're doing it next year. Stop it. Stop it right now. We're not letting Marco talk about the wedding anymore. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I thought we were friends. And here's our latest sports update. He's a clown.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
It was a kind of a showcase of, you know, what this whole match was about. You know, that match point saved from him. And just one of the most exciting and toughest mentally, emotionally, physically matches that I've ever had in my career.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's not every year that the heat in New York, the humidity in New York is an issue. But it is hard courts, which means it can heat up on the actual playing surface at the U.S. Open. Now, if the weather holds true, the weather that we've had in the New York City area over the course of the summer, there have been some real bouts with humidity, which is pretty standard, but the temperatures have not been nearly as hot this year. A lot more rain than what we've had in recent summers. And so as Novak Djokovic speaks just over a week ago about his battle with Carlos Alcaraz in Cincinnati, where the heat was a major issue, it was grueling, it was draining. It's not as though a Grand Slam can't also be extremely taxing, especially depending upon how deep you go in each of your matches. Remember, in Grand Slams, the men, it's best of five, not best of three. And certainly if we get another Novak versus Carlos match on the hard courts at New York, it will be must-see TV. However, it may not be as hot, is what I'm saying. Like I said, I've been there at the U.S. Open where you've had temps near 100 and thick humidity, and the cramping and the conditioning became a major problem. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. First round in the books for Novak Djokovic, a straight set win over Alexander Mueller.
I knew it was going to be a late night for me and a late start of the match. But nevertheless, I mean, I was excited to go out on the court. I didn't care if I started it after midnight because I was looking forward to this moment for a few years. To be out on the biggest stadium in our sport, the loudest stadium in our sport, playing night session. So, of course, tonight was a special night. They had a ceremony, so it took a... It took longer than I would probably have wanted, but as I said, it was a great joy to be stepping out on the court, and I think the performance explains how I felt tonight, particularly in the first two sets.
Couple of things to note here. Coco Gauff played before him on center court, and her match took three sets. So we will talk about that coming up, or you'll hear from her coming up. Also, they had a ceremony that he references. 50 years, a half century of equal pay, equal prize money for men and women at the U.S. Open, something that this Grand Slam is extremely proud of. But 17-0, that's the record for Novak in the opening round of the U.S. Open in his career.
I've probably had the answer for every shot that he had in his book. So overall, I'm very, very pleased with the way I feel, with the way I'm playing. Hopefully I can maintain that level. It's just the beginning of the tournament, but I already like the level of tennis.
Because of the COVID restrictions, meaning travel restrictions into the U.S., we've not seen Novak at the U.S. Open since he lost in the final in 21. So 2 years ago, he lost to Daniil Medvedev. And that was a match that had he won, he would have owned every Grand Slam in the same calendar year. It's not been done in men's tennis since the late 60s. Not even Roger Federer accomplished that. And here is Novak at 36 years old. He's rejuvenated by this return to New York and this new rivalry with the, is he 20 now? Carlos Alcaraz, all of 20 years old. And he's thrilled by the New York crowds. As I say, there were a lot of celebrities and famous people on hand. And he's coming off a big win on the hard courts in Cincinnati. So this is Novak at the top of his game. Also, he's going to be on the top of the world rankings again, too, because of how he's played in the last couple months. All right, Mariners, they're playing hot as well right now. That's next here after our CBS Sports Radio.
Thrill seekers, Houston Motorsports is ecstatic to introduce our latest dealership in Angleton, Texas. Experience our brand new location featuring a remarkable assortment of top power sports brands. From CF Moto's heart-pounding off-road adventures to Can-Am's rugged rides, we've got you covered. Our expert team is committed to providing exceptional customer service, guiding you to your perfect adrenaline-charged ride. Don't wait. Visit our brand new Angleton store today and see why Houston Motorsports is the largest power sports dealership in Houston. Your ultimate power sports experience awaits.